And now the game where we invite notable people to join us and discuss trivial things. It's called Not My Job. Now you know what's going on in the palaces, capitals, and evil villain hideouts all over the world. All the big shots are asking their loyal aides, is it going to be me? Is this my year? Because sure, you can start a war or win one. You can shift the world's economy one way or another. But what is that next to being named Time Magazine's Person of the Year? Time's managing editor, Jim Kelly, joins us now from New York to talk about whether this year, at long last, they will recognize the influence and sway of our own Carl Castle. Jim Kelly, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
So just to be clear, this I'm presuming that you guys at Time, because you need a little lead time, you've decided, have you not?
No, we have not decided.
You've not decided?
Oh.
No, we have not decided. What we've done in the last few years is we have several folks we're reporting on, and you know, sometime in mid-December, all that stuff comes in, and I look at what we got, and I make the pick.
You're the guy.
I'm pretty much the guy.
Really?
On this front, at least, I'm pretty much the guy.
What's it based on?
Well, it's based on what you want to do is you want to pick someone or some people. Where people say, you know, that's a surprise, but they also get it right away, that it's justifiable. A justifiable surprise.
A justifiable surprise.
But, I mean, is it somebody that's admirable, or is it just somebody who's been in the news a lot?
Well, the definition has kind of evolved over the years. I mean, it began as kind of, you know, the person who, you know, for better or for worse, for good or ill, most affected the news. And some years you just... You know, we picked the person who, like, had a lot of headlines. But
right.
If you go by that, you know, every year you probably end up with the President of the United States.
So. Well, no, you'd end up with Paris Hilton. Come on.
This is my thing. You know, pick who you want. Make it a bad guy, make it a good guy, make it the president, make it somebody else. Don't, like, cheese out and pick, like, a thing again. Mm. Like the computer.
Mm.
Like you did in 1982.
That's true.
Right. No more cheesing out.
It will not be an object this year.
And no weather.
No animals.
No, like, Katrina. Don't be doing that. Okay?
Well, Mother Nature. A lot of people have voted for Mother Nature.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Bob Woodward recently had occasion to eliminate a few names. Is anybody you willing to count out as a... I mean, Scooter Libby's not going to make it, right?
Probably not.
But I'm still clear. I still don't get what the criteria is.
Jim, sell the magazine.
Okay. Okay, but when you took this job, you took over for somebody else, right?
Yes.
Okay, and before they left, like when they were cleaning out their desk and stuff, and you were, you know, you didn't like rush over and put your stuff in, but you kind of sat in a chair in the room and just, you know, waited quietly. And did they say anything about what kinds of stuff you're going to have to do? Like, you know, they say like, okay, look it. When you do the Time Magazine Man of the Week thing,
year.
Person of the Year, well, they start off small. They do Man of the Week. It's a trainer. It's a trainer program. That's how he did it. He said, who would you pick if it was this week? And that's how Jim got the job. And so what did your predecessor tell you about what you had to do to make this pick?
He whispered in my ear, whatever you do, don't pick Osama bin Laden.
You did. Now, Time picked Hitler one year, right?
Picked Hitler one year. We picked Stalin twice. We picked the Ayatollah Khomeini.
Yeah, so, that yep. got people criticize you.
Mm-hmm. You lost a lot of subscribers with the Ayatollah.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Whereas apparently the Stalin thing didn't put people off at all. You were able to bring him back again, and people weren't bothered by that.
Now, do people lobby you, either inside or outside the magazine?
Yeah, we get a lot of folks start calling around October, wondering if we got their press release about, you know, so and so, and you know, I get invited to a lot more lunches in November than I get invited in, say, April. So.
Mm-hmm. I bet I know a way that Jim could get Carl's voice on his answering machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When is your deadline for making this decision?
I will make the decision.
He's made it.
No, I have not made it.
He's made it.
I'm going to make it on December 15th.
All right. And have you laid out a routine? Do you know what you're going to do? Are you going to lock yourself in a room? What are you going to do to make that decision?
I go out to Riverside Park. I light up a cigar, and I look over to New Jersey.
New Jersey, source of inspiration for so many. It really is. It's a 200-mile-long muse, New Jersey is.
Exactly.
But
right.
If you do that, don't you end up nominating the mayor of Weehawken?
Yeah. No, you know what that sort of strange brown cloud is floating above New Jersey? That's inspiration. Yeah. That's what that is.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, we wish you luck, and
thank you.
And we're still holding out for ourselves, of course. But before we let you go, Jim, we've invited you here to play a game we're calling.
Every time Peter says, "Really?" you get to take a drink.
Really?
Really? Really?
Every other show is a drinking game. Why not us? In our case, our drinking game is that we're going to ask you three questions about the history of alcohol.
Oh.
Taken from a little book of drinking trivia called Alcoholica Esoterica. Huh. Get two questions right, you'll win a prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, of course, and their home answering machine. Carl, who is Time Managing Editor Jim Kelly playing for?
Jim is playing for James Callan of Seattle, Washington.
Oh. And a potential person of the year.
First question, alcohol, of course, dates back to the beginning of civilization. But there are drinking traditions that are also surprisingly old. Historians have found which of these? A 6,000-year-old Sumerian beer ad, complete with busty beer babe. B, a Grecian urn with six distinct compartments for alcohol, that is, the world's first six-pack. Or C, from a Roman poem in the first century A.D., the first comic euphemism for throwing up while drunk, namely, genuflecting to the earthworm god.
I would guess B.
You're going to guess B, the Grecian urn with the six distinct compartments, a six-pack.
That's my choice.
No, it was the 6,000-year-old Sumerian beer ad.
Oh, God.
Mm. It's a large stone tablet, dates from about 4,000 B.C., It shows a headless but still well-endowed woman holding two mugs or jugs of beer. And it has the inscription, "Drink Eblen beer. It gives you the heart of a lion."
Wow.
Eblen beer?
No, Eblen.
Eblen.
Eblen, which is the name of a Sumerian city.
Oh.
Told.
Yeah. Does give you the heart of a lion, too.
Yeah. You didn't get that one. You have two more chances.
Okay.
If you spent any time with wine snobs, you've heard them describe fine wines in terms of their component flavors, blackberry, hints of oak, so on. One flavor commonly found in descriptions of fine wine surprised us. Is it A, burnt creosote, B, lead pencil, or C, wet dog?
Mm.
Oh. I would say C, wet dog.
Wet dog. It's a lovely yet insouciant little vintage with blackberry oak and sense of wet dog. Mm. That's what you're saying.
Overtones, yep. I think overtones.
Overtones of wet dog. Overtones. That's the word I could not find.
Overtones of damp golden retriever.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you got to narrow it down.
You do, really. I think if you're a connoisseur, you really can tell.
A damp dachshund.
I'm afraid it's lead pencil.
Oh, God.
Oh,
who'd buy that?
And lead pencil in wine means it smells like wet lead pencil. That's what it means.
Huh.
All right, you still have one chance to get a question right. So, I think we know you're not going to be man of the year at this point. All right, last question.
Okay.
As long as people have been drinking, governments have been trying to discourage them, sometimes in rather roundabout ways. In Texas, for example, sure you can drink, but you can't do what? A, you can't mix any alcoholic beverage with fruit juice. B, you can't take more than 3 sips of beer at a time while standing up. Or C, you can't drink within 100 feet of a lawnmower of any kind.
Yikes. I would, Texas. I would say, I guess, C.
C, you can't drink within 100 feet of a lawnmower.
Yeah, I guess so.
No, it was actually standing up and drinking more than 3 sips of beer at a time.
Oh, my God.
We can't figure it out. My only guess is that they don't want people loitering around drinking beer like they do, for example, in the opening credits of King of the Hill. And it's obviously, judging from the opening credits of King of the Hill, totally failed as a law enforcement measure, but nonetheless, that's the law.
Yeah, dear man. Jim, God. If you can't handle little choices like this...
But But it's okay because he gets to set the rules.
Right, right. Doesn't matter.
Carl, how did Jim Kelly do in our quiz?
Well,
let's hope he does a better job picking the person of the year.
Yeah.
He had no correct answers, Peter, so he doesn't win our prize for James Callum.
Yes. Sorry.
0-3, gosh.
Yeah, that's not good. Mm. My worry now is not so much that you're going to make a poor choice, is that you're going to pick something that we made up. Jim Kelly is the managing editor of Time Magazine, a notable news weekly. Jim, thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks so much. I really like it.
Thanks, Jim.
Bye.
Good friends. Tonight is kind of special, the beer we'll pour. Must say something more somehow. So tonight, let it be Lord.